Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
From Postcard from the Past and Wardour Studios, this is Podcast from the Past, the Postcard Podcast. This is the podcast where each time my guests revisit picture postcards that they, for some reason, held onto. And together, we try to understand what it was that caused them to keep these tiny cardboard rectangles. Each time, I welcome to the studio two guests, and it's their postcards that act as Proustian prompts, difficult to say, to memories, mysteries and stories, or sometimes something altogether different. I'm Tom Jackson. I'm delighted to say today my guests are novelist Caroline O'Donoghue and journalist Esther Weber. Esther and Caroline, welcome to Podcast from the Past.
Thank you.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Now, Caroline O'Donoghue is a freelance journalist. She also casts the pod. Who doesn't these days, in the Sentimental Garbage podcast,
yes.
Which attempts to discover what it is that makes chick lit tick, which is not easy to say.
Very good. Yeah, we're both in the business of sentimentality, I believe.
Well, I protest that I'm not, but I know that bits of me are. So, and I guess the same with you, really. You're slightly railing against the notion that this is sentimental garbage. That's
yes,
not
exactly.
meant to be a description, is it?
It's very much a tongue-in-cheek response. It was born of going through a lot of Amazon reviews and seeing, oh, there's a theme here.
Yes. Don't fight it. Use it. Use
yes,
it for
exactly.
yourself.
Yes, exactly. Very subverting
good.
It.
That becomes the shield and the sword. And Caroline's novel, Promising Young Women, did a neat job of persuading you as a reader that it's a romantic comedy of modern manners and office life before she throws the switch and realises that she's bringing to light issues around consent, coercion, friendship and healing. And by the time this podcast is out, you will probably all be talking about her brand new novel, Scenes of a Graphic Nature, which is out in June. And Caroline comes to the studio today bearing a Kerry postmark?
I think so, yeah. So my new novel, Scenes of a Graphic Nature, is set in Kerry. It's a funny old place. So I come from Cork, which is a county in the south of Ireland, but people who are from Cork generally holiday in Kerry.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Arbogner Regis, do you know what I mean? And so
I think I did.
And so ever since I was, you know, knee-high to a grasshopper, I've been bundled into the car down to Kerry, which is a beautiful, extremely rural, just stunning seaside county. And the thing about Kerry is that no matter how many times you've been there, if you could marry somebody from there, and you would always be an outsider. They always treat you like a blow-in, even though my family have been going down there for 20 years. They always treat you like a blow-in. You're always an outsider, but everyone's kind of an outsider down there. And I love the sense of mystery that gives the place, you know?
Well, that probably if you lived there, you'd lose all that fun anyway. It would become very mundane.
So. I like being a visitor, and I like kind of, you know, yeah. When I first quit my job and sort of had a stab at the whole freelance writer thing, I spent a month down there with my father, just the two of us in a kind of a mobile home that hasn't been updated since the early 90s.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds like...
Not sure I could do that.
Yeah, you're writing one book and getting material for the next.
It was hilarious, actually, because, you know, the whole time I was there, I was like, you know, my dad's in 70 this year, and I was like, wow, this is the longest time I've ever spent with my father, just the two of us alone, and how wonderful to get to know him as a friend and not just, you know, Bank of Dad anymore, you know? And we had this beautiful time We had so much fun. We went for dinner every night. We laughed ourselves silly. I went back to London, got a call from my mom saying, your father's got a brain injury. And I was like, oh my God, when did he get that? He's like, we think when he was down there with you.
Oh,
and so he was lightly brain damaged the whole time we were having this transformative time.
Oh,
he's fine now,
okay.
Don't worry.
Okay.
He had a series of small, very adorable strokes.
Okay. Oh, gosh. Well, I'm glad that Kerry stays with you with some kind of meaning anyway.
Yes, that's it does. It's very layered.
Now, Caroline, do you still send postcards?
No, I'm a poor postcardee and a postcarder, I'm afraid.
Strike one.
I know. When you approached me about this, I was so delighted to be asked that I sort of fudged my way in. I was like, oh, I don't really have that many postcards around the place. And you said, fine.
I'll reassess your application letter.
I definitely, like everybody else, I love a museum gift shop and I use them as bookmarks and that kind of thing. But generally,
that counts, I think.
Yes, I think it probably does count. But I think for me, because I moved when I was quite young, I emigrated when I was 21 to England, and since then, or for a long time, I was moving around every 6 months, and there was no time or space for sentimentality. I just dumped things, I binned things, early articles, love letters, they all got binned.
Wow.
And I just became very nomadic, and it's only really in the last 3 or 4 years where I've started to build up my sentimentality again, and I've started to build things, you know.
You're describing sentimentality the way you might describe having cushions in your living room or something. Is this the same thing?
I think when you're doing the poor starving artist thing and you're living in bedsits and living on mattresses and all that kind of stuff, you need to be quite nomadic, and you can't hold on to teddy bears and you can't hold on to that kind of thing. And so I'm a low-level
cultural refugee.
Yes, precisely. Yeah, it's a wonderful way of putting it, yeah.
Oh, well, good for you. I excuse you. Now, Esther Weber is the reporter for the Times Red Box Morning Email. And she helps to unpick, unravel, and doubtless unburden herself of the baffling world of British politics. Ever baffling. More baffling every day, I think,
yeah,
at the moment.
Yeah, I'd sort of have a job on if I was actually going to explain it. But at least I can make jokes anyway.
Yes. Yes, the ultimate explanation is history, isn't it? That happens 50 years hence.
Yes, yeah.
And I used to specialise in covering Parliament and procedure. And before she was filling that red box, you were the BBC News' parliamentary reporter.
Yep, that's right. So I used to spend all day, every day, pretty much, watching the Commons and the Lords. And somehow that didn't send me altogether crazy, because I'm still here. And I still sort of take an interest in the parliamentary side of things when covering politics. And I mean, there's just endless amounts of material, you know, whether it's, you know, some peer giving us a recipe for eating squirrel, or, you know, people falling asleep during committee hearings. It just is the most endlessly fascinating place. And the reason I find it fascinating is because I'm still trying to understand it.
And are you looking for those? You talk about the squirrel recipe. Yeah. Are you looking for those odd, strange bits? Is that something that captures your eye?
Yeah.
In the same way that when I pick up a postcard, I'm not looking for the bit that says it was sunny. I'm looking for the bit that says Auntie Flo fell in the sea. You know?
Exactly, yeah. No, that's what I really enjoy, is kind of keeping an eye on some of the less explored corners, maybe, and digging out the sort of weird and wonderful things that are going on behind the scenes. For example, recently I noticed someone had tabled a written question, which is a sort of formal way of asking the government something about the fact that Toasties had been withdrawn from one of the Lords' bowels. So obviously that had to come out.
Thank God there's nothing more important going on
exactly,
in the country.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, I have a feeling people in your job at the moment are the ones holding back the deluge for the rest of us, so thank God you're doing it.
Trying.
I did see that you were recently listed by the Evening Standard as one of London's most influential people.
That's quite terrifying, isn't
but,
it?
But I looked carefully at the list. Apparently, you were just below the proprietor of the Evening Standard.
Yeah.
So I'm not quite sure.
No, that was quite worrying, I think, because if I'm sort of being counted as influential, then obviously people care a lot more about the silly things in the Lords than I thought.
Yeah, maybe you also can move from being a person of influence to a person of interest, and then you're in trouble.
Oh, God, yeah, hopefully not.
And Esther comes to us today with an SW2 postmark.
That's right, yeah. I was born and grew up in Brixton, so I've seen it change a lot over the years, obviously. And also some bits kind of remain impossibly, immovably the same, which is what I love, really. And I sort of feel, because I now live in the same postcode where I grew up, about 20 minutes from my parents. So I think I feel now a bit like a kind of medieval parishioner, like someone who's never really been outside, like a 3-mile radius of where they're from.
And then you commute to the medieval world of Westminster.
Exactly, yeah. I'm not really broadening my horizons that much. But no, I have to say, I don't really get bored. Brixton, and there was a phase in my 20s where like lots of my friends lived in East London, and I used to go out there a lot, and now I sort of feel vaguely offended if someone asked me to cross the river, so yeah, there's enough going on there to keep me entertained.
Well, I'll have none of that north-south parochialism, but I entirely agree with you. And now, Esther, when did you last send a postcard?
I actually can't remember. That's quite bad, isn't it? But I have a lot of friends who are assiduous postcard senders, and if I'm on holiday with them, sometimes we'll sort of write one as a group to someone who isn't there.
Oh, you've got a part share in it.
Yeah, yeah. So I think maybe it would have been Rome a couple of years ago. Yeah.
Very good. Okay. Well, we'll excuse that as well.
Yeah.
So both of you, you're definitely on licence regarding postcards. Try harder.
Thanks, Tom.
Now, before we see and hear the cards that Esther and Caroline have actually usually brought along, a quick one of mine. This is, of course, a postcard from the past card, like I do on the Twitter and in the book. An old card from which I've selected just a bit of the message. So we'll start with this. This is Brussels, as I'm sure you can recognise.
Oh, yes.
The big square, fantastic colours actually. Very sunny sky and a rather unlikely weather, really. This is 76. Hot summer, 1976. And the message that appealed to me was there's a bitterness in this, I'm afraid.
Oh, I love it.
Linda isn't having any difficulty spending money, despite the language difficulties.
That is fabulous.
That's spiky thing to say. You can put that in your next novel, something nasty like that. Yeah, one of your lesser characters can. Yeah. Okay. One more of them. This is a publisher called Walter Scott, who people don't know much about. Anyway, they don't exist anymore. 1984, and they did. This is actually. Do you recognise what these flowers are? I would not expect you to know, actually.
No.
It's the Glastonbury thorn.
Oh.
So that plant that there's some biblical connection and with a mystical.
Say hawthorn.
Well, it probably is a hawthorn, but it's like a magic hawthorn, I think.
Yeah.
And the message from someone. Very poor handwriting, actually, this, I'm afraid. Possibly someone called Pod. Rod? Pod? I'm not sure. Sending it to Hounslow, Middlesex. I got told off for singing too loud in the chapel. Keep seeing Westminster banks in obscure villages.
So, wow.
It's an odd thing to say.
She has a series of small strokes.
I wonder if they're writing to some friend of theirs. Maybe they work in Westminster Bank. So they're like, spot them.
Yes.
But I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't
you're
know.
So good at putting context together now after all these years of doing this.
I just make it up. But anyway, it amused me. I'd say the bits I like. I should remind everyone at home that images of all the cards that we have talked about and that we're going to talk about are going to be on the blog, postcardfromthepast.co.uk, so you can see that we're not making it up. Now, Esther and Caroline, you've been kind enough to come along to the studio today bringing postcards of your own. Caroline, let's start with you.
Yes.
And you've got a couple here that you were somewhat dismissive of, but let's see what they have to offer.
Yes, well, these two I'm going to group together. The first one is... Well, it's
massive.
It's massive, too big. I think it's because it's by my mother and she has huge handwriting.
So she always buy big cards, though?
She does tend to. She's a great postcard woman. And I know she must have sent me more over the years, and I must just have been very terrible at keeping them.
They must be on a shelf somewhere you've not spotted them.
Yes, let's hope so. But I think let me describe what it looks like, which is it is a very quintessential 1950s kind of Parisian scene. It's a woman in a beautiful sort of probably a Christian Dior dress, standing on a balcony, sort of peering off into the street. She's got a lovely blonde updo. She's very kind of Grace Kelly. The Eiffel Tower is in the background.
It's a holiday fantasy, isn't it? You would live that way with that sort of elegance.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and it's very simple. It's just, hi, Caroline, Gav and Sylvie. Gav is my partner. Sylvie is my dog. Thinking of you all here.
Nice to send it to the dog.
Nice, you know, her reading is coming along beautifully. So, and, you know, I've thrown away so many postcards and I was kind of looking at this today, wondering, why have I kept this from 2017? And I think it is, I don't know, it's... And both of these little postcards I have here, the other one is a Simpsons joke, and I'll get back to that in a minute, but they're both from my family, and I don't see my family very much because they live in Ireland, or my brother's recently moved here, but for the last 10 years they've lived in Ireland and I've lived here. And it kind of reminds me of the way they see me,
Okay, this is your glamorous life.
No, not so much, but when I was very much one of those teenage girls who was really into Audrey Hepburn and really into Grace Kelly and really into sort of getting all the posters and going to vintage posters fairs and watching the videos and stuff. And I think teenage girls, especially of my generation, maybe they always have possibly kind of get into starlets, really, because they feel very safe. I think particularly the noughties when I was a teenager, there was a lot of the kind of the Paris Hilton thing, the Lindsay Lohan thing, the sort of the One Tree Hill, the OC. It felt very bronzed, very, very Californian, very like overt and sexual and quite threatening. And I think I found a lot of comfort in this sort of imagery, which felt... equally more unattainable than the Paris Hilton thing, but
so it's sort of
cozier,
it's princessy
somehow.
Almost, isn't it? Yes, it's a fairy story.
Yes, like. It's very princessy. Yeah, and I think for my mother, that's a very hermetically sealed image of me, of just sort of desperately trying to copy the winged eyeliner and like experimenting with hot rollers and trying to sleep in them, but then not being able to sleep in them and all that kind of stuff.
And no harm can come to you on that balcony.
Yeah, exactly, precisely, and. The other one is blank and it's from my brother and it's Simpsons frame, and it's, you can see there's three pins in it from one.
Brilliant. Signs of love, those.
Signs of love, yeah. It is in my kitchen. I do love it. And it just says, "Hey girls, it's the Corey hotline. Why won't she call?" And it's a picture of a young man on a bed waiting for a woman to call.
So remind me where that fits into the Simpsons pantheon. What bit
so,
is that?
It is Lisa, who's everyone knows Lisa Simpson. Yes. I'm not going to explain Lisa Simpson
dear,
in the 21st century.
Please refer yourself to the Simpsons podcast.
She gets addicted to a sort of a 1-800 number hotline, which is just sort of like teenage boy voice actors recording, "Hey, I'm Corey. Wow, it's great to hear from you." And she ends up running up huge phone bills.
Oh, that was a great idea for an episode.
Yeah,
they've done.
And she gets completely addicted and she goes through this whole kind of rehab situation with this.
Okay.
And
and they made a postcard from that one episode.
Yeah, well, my brother managed to track one down anyway. I mean, he tracked it down, but he didn't bother filling it in. So,
everyone has their sort of favourite Simpsons moment.
Yeah,
yes.
That's definitely up there.
That's a great one.
I associate it with the... there's another episode, I can't remember which one, but where a teenage girl is reading sort of magazine on the steps in school, and the title is... Non-threatening boys.
Yeah, oh my god, I love
very
that one. That's
perfect.
So good.
Yeah.
That's fab.
Yeah, they know how to put things on the nose in that show.
Yeah. And I've got three siblings, but my next oldest brother who sent me this, we're both huge Simpsons fans, and we've always had that Bart and Lisa dynamic kind of thing.
Okay.
And I think he always just sees me as sort of this desperate little loser who's always following him around.
There's always a subtext.
There's always a subtext. So yeah, these two together, they're very much it feels like who I am in my family.
Yeah, you're being defined by these images, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, exactly.
The big Parisian one, it strikes me that was very much designed to be kept hold of.
Yeah,
because it's big
I think
it's nicely printed as well, isn't it? It's not rubbish. It's meant to be I'm not framed up exactly, but I think it was meant to be kept.
Yeah, definitely when you see the postcards on the turnstile, it's the one that's kind of higher up. The £3 as opposed to the £2.
Yeah, I thought for a minute it was Jean Seberg, but it's not, is it?
I thought, I had first thought Grace Kelly, but it just says in the back, mannequin sur un balcon à Paris.
Does it have a date?
It doesn't.
I don't mean the post, the sending the...
It doesn't, you know.
I just wonder, is it really old or is it really reproduced? Is it sort of...
It seems reproduced to me, but I'm handing it over to you for the
eagle
eye.
No, I think it is a real old picture, isn't it? It's not...
You got that, there's only kind of fuzz,
you know,
on the lens.
Because then they sort of started faking up pictures of various sort of 60s starlets, but I think it's a real picture. There's some nice sort of puddling on the...
Yeah.
It's been raining, so I think it's a proper old picture.
It is the it's the ultimate picture for a 16-year-old girl, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I love the way she's peering.
Yeah. I mean, it's like slightly superior, slightly wary.
Yeah, she hasn't bothered walking up to the edge. She peers. Oh,
it's a real let them eat cake kind of image.
Yeah, yeah. An image for our time. Well, that's very good. Well, thank you very much, Caroline, for sharing those with us. Now, Esther, what's the first delivery for us?
I think, are we starting...
No, let's start with these ones, I think.
Okay.
It's pretty arbitrary, but let's start with
this. I've just been sort of piecing this together on the way here because I've got a very close friend of mine, Naomi, who travels a lot for work. She's an academic, so she goes wherever she finds a job. And I was trying to work out from the date where she was when she sent this. And it was 2014, so she must have been in Istanbul. And nice. I think it was when she just moved there. It's a Tintin postcard. Right. And I think she actually bought it at an exhibition we went to see together. And then sent it to me after she arrived.
Not the exhibition at Somerset House?
I'll read the
deal. Yes, unpick it.
Because she says, "This is a small souvenir from our trip to Bexhill."
Oh,
so it must have been there. She said, "I've been enjoying the photos from our trip, although it already feels so far away. Sad. I'm currently procrastinating. Struggling to get back to solitary living. Why is it always this way?
Oh.
I want a beer." and I think that was kind of the cycle she went through every time she moved
somewhere
new.
Because it sounds so glamorous going from place to place.
Yeah, it does. But I think it was often very lonely. Yeah. Kind of upping sticks and moving everything and often not being there long enough to get to know people. There is a happy ending.
Oh, thank goodness.
She says, anyway, it's only a month until I'm over again. Chat soon, internet permitting. And the sort of footnote to her moving to Istanbul and feeling very lonely there is that she ended up meeting her partner 5 years there. So there was a happy ending to that story.
A trip of opportunities.
Yes. Yeah.
And these images, these Hergé drawings are just irresistible on postcards, aren't
I know,
they?
They're great.
I love the bears.
Yeah, so this one is of some bears coming to eat Tintin's sandwich. He hasn't spotted them yet. And Snowy's run off already.
Brilliantly. He literally just got Snowy's feet and tail.
Yeah.
He's scarpering.
So, as ever, he's ahead of the game.
Yeah, precisely.
and I love Tintin as well, so I think that's probably why she sent that one to me.
You went to an exhibition in Bexhill of Tintin?
Yeah, they've got that pavilion.
The Delaware.
There. Yeah, I assume it must have been something we picked up there. Yeah. But I can't honestly remember.
Well, you've got enough, haven't you? Because you've got that thing that just ties it all together there.
Exactly.
Very good, very good. Now, you've got another one which is a rather sort of romantic photographic scene.
Yeah, it's sort of, I guess, quite a stereotypical postcard of a street scene in Barcelona, sort of sun-soaked, and you can see some
dawn,
sort
is it?
I think so. And this is from my sister, my little sister Helen. It hasn't got a date, but it's quite sweet because I think she must have sent it just when I was sort of in my second or third journalism job, and when I started to kind of get things published,
right,
you get a nice response from people saying, oh, I saw that online. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, it's actually real.
Yes. You just didn't count until
yes, yeah.
Suddenly you're real.
She says, I Googled you earlier because of something Mummy said about you having written lots of articles. And there is a life coach and a masseuse who shares your name.
Wow.
They're the ones I meant to invite in today.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Apparently, she's very good.
Oh, good.
Barcelona's nice. No MTV, sadly.
Gosh.
Lots of cheese, so I'm all right. And the beer is very cheap.
Wow.
Very good. That is a perfect...
Yeah,
that must sisterly have been, postcard.
At least the noughties, because MTV was still a thing.
Yes, you're right.
You wouldn't be an issue now,
No, you wouldn't complain about no MTV now.
And he's also got some sort of art critique on the photo.
Oh, that's good value.
So she says, plus there's culture and all that. I do think the taker of this postcard photo could have waited until that woman had stopped digging around in her handbag.
Let's have a look.
Because you can see.
Oh, I see, yes. Well, she's not wrong, is she? And she's actually spotted the camera as well. She's probably saying, I want a royalty.
So, yeah, that's the feedback for the picture takers in Barcelona.
Because you see that a lot less now. The odd people in postcards. A lot of the time, I look at far too many postcards, and I do sometimes find people who have been caught at unfortunate moments in the cards.
Mm.
And obviously, they didn't have Photoshop then. It's like, well, fine, let's just print it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got some which are very, very unlikely. Like people appearing to be relieving themselves by a tree.
Oh, really?
There's a very odd one of a place near Barcelona, actually, at Sitges, the seaside resort. And there appears to be in the foreground a man with a sort of whip running towards the person taking the picture in anger.
Oh, my
and
God.
I don't even know what that
oh
is.
Oh, my God.
But, anyway, someone looking through the handbag is equally good. But
it's a bit like Google Street View, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yes, yeah. Yes.
To, like, blur people out.
And I think if you take enough pictures,
yeah,
there's going to be some odd ones. It's just like a statistical thing. There'll be something completely... Eventually, you'll find a spaceship because it's just you keep doing it forever. Something will happen. Well, very good. One more of mine now, quickly. This is... God knows what that is. It could be anything, couldn't it? It's just like an abstract view.
Yeah.
It's actually Lyme Bay, wherever Lyme Bay is. Well,
it's
not Lyme Regis, and it was sent from York. But I don't know. It might be Lyme, as in... And in fact, it's the Portland Gallery, so maybe this is Lyme Regis. It's a bit of a mystery. More research required. It's been sent to Cambridge. And the message... just a slightly odd thing, really. It says... it's sent by someone called Christine. And she says, I hope that this card finds you well. Take great care. Thank you for the grapefruit spoons.
Oh.
So,
that was excellent.
Yeah, I mean, I hope you both have nice grapefruit spoons at home.
They're the ones with the serrated edges, aren't they?
Are they?
Yes, they're a very specific type of spoon.
Well, you know, Caroline. I certainly had never heard of a grapefruit spoon.
There's a wonderful poem by Emily Berry, something called, I think it's called The Biographer Comes to Dinner.
Oh, yes.
And it's about it, like a young girl who, like, her father is being biographized or something, if that's a word. And she's tried to show off to the biographer by showing him her grapefruit spoons.
Ah.
And their serrated edges. It's a wonderful poem.
There you go. And it's the same thing. I think this person's showing off.
Yeah.
When did they even give them?
It's the ultimate thing to show off about, the ultimate rebelling good.
Well, maybe it's a sort of double-edged, ha-ha, thing to give someone.
Yeah.
But if you gift people grapefruit spoons, it shows that they need grapefruit spoons. You know?
Yes.
You're the person who didn't have the grapefruit spoons.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Podcasts from the Past, the Postcard Podcast, and my guests today are Esther Weber and Carolina Donoghue. And I'm happy to say we received a postcard.
Mm-hmm.
And the postcard is from Mrs. W. Wheatley of Stanley, County Durham. And Mrs. Wheatley says that the answer is a pack of playing cards. And I'm sorry, Mrs. Wheatley, that's the wrong answer. Try again. Now, on with the podcast. Caroline.
Yes.
What's the second/third card that you've got for us? Something special, I think.
It's quite special to me, yeah. So looking at it, it's very clearly one of those postcards that comes in like a book of postcards that you buy.
Yes.
This is not something you buy from a turnstile. It's it's just a picture of a juniper. And it's not even that clear on what kind of juniper it is. It's an Irish, Swedish, or English juniper. It's
Take your pick.
It's illustrated. It's not a particularly fancy looking one, and it's I think I can see a bit of my own toothpaste on it, which shows you how often I pick it up to read it. And it's important to me because it is from the author David Sedaris.
Oh, lovely.
Who he was one of a huge influence of mine, kind of. I read Dress Your Family in Corduroy and Denim when I was very, very young. And it was the first time that I had read somebody's writing where they weren't going after these huge plots or these huge emotions. It was just very incidental, like funny tales about their own family that somehow captured the entire human experience without having to push it too hard,
right.
You know?
Which is a tough trick.
A tough, tough trick. And he's a huge hero of mine my entire life. And I finally got to interview him for the Irish Times. And that was enough for me. And he is somebody who was interviewed a lot. When a book comes out, he's on a huge press tour. And that was enough. And then about a week later, I received this postcard.
Oh.
And I was so excited, but I found out that he does this with everybody. Literally everyone.
We'll cut that bit out.
It's still quite classy, though.
It's so classy.
Really?
It's exactly the kind of person you want to be, isn't it?
But that's a morning's work as well, catching up with everyone like that. So that's brilliant.
I think he flies a lot. So literally everyone he meets, he takes down their name and in a little book. And I remember I had such a limited time with him. I had 25 minutes with him or something ridiculous like that. And he spent the first sort of 4 trying to get my name right. I was like, no, we're eating into valuable connection time, David.
Forget about me.
Exactly. Totally. And he says, and I love how he's got awful handwriting, which I love. Dear Caroline, thank you for taking the time to talk to me yesterday. I could go on about RuPaul's Drag Race forever. I was a bit disappointed with this season's winner, but I'm not going to cry about it. Sincerely, David.
Wow. Yeah. And that's very personal to your conversation, though.
Yeah, no, that's true. So I was very, quite moved that he was, definitely remembered our long argument about RuPaul's Drag Race.
And when are you putting it on eBay then?
I can't wait for the death, surely. Can't wait for the
exactly. No, but what you've got to use it as a bookmark in one of his books, surely.
Yeah, no, that is where it lives right now.
It'll get no more toothpaste on it that way.
I don't know. I'm so charmed by it every single time I look at it, even though I know everyone gets one and this is just part of what he does. It's just. Everyone says don't meet your heroes, but when you do and then you have a little artifact of them, it just feels even more special, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think the sort of book world, and he's definitely in the book world, is somewhere where postcards sort of survive a bit, like with the promotional postcards when books come out. And so I think it's sort
of... That's so funny. I hadn't even thought of that because I've just finished writing about 100 of those for... Oh.
You should have brought one.
Should have brought them,
Then we could have told the listeners about your new book. As it is, it's a secret and they'll never know. But yeah, so you've got them for your book?
I do, yeah. I spent a whole afternoon writing out postcards to various friends and acquaintances. And it's funny because when you're writing loads of them, you start... You kind of want to rely on private jokes so that you know... Same what David's done here. You want to refer to something you've both spoken about, but some of these people you haven't talked to in years. So you're going through emails and WhatsApp conversations to find some speck of humour of a joke once shared.
Little common things.
Yes, exactly.
Wow,
that's
very good of you, because you could have just signed them. Or...
Yeah, I don't know. I think the thing with the emotional touch is you want to sort of... I'm sure what David's done here, you want to sort of guilt people into giving you a good review or into reading the book, because so many of these proofs, they just don't get read. They end up in the bin. So you want to hook people in with the...
It's all
very strategic.
Yeah, manipulative, some would say. But you've got that opportunity anyway, so you might as well put something... It's a personal thing, a postcard. It's not an email. So.
Yeah. And it did feel lovely. And I did have that sensation of, I should do this more often and not until just when the next
book comes out.
Out.
Yeah. Well, that's your incentive to keep you writing, I suppose.
Yeah.
You get to play with a postcard.
Exactly.
And is it the book cover? Is it just the same?
It is the book cover, yes.
It's a nice thing. Is there something magical about seeing the cut? It's nice to see a book cover anyway.
Yeah.
But to see on a card, I don't know why that works so well, but it does.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's just simply effective marketing technique. Yeah.
Very good.
We love them.
Well done publishing, I say. Now, Esther, you've now got a rather sort of classic, beautiful image for us.
Yes. Stunning. It's a black and white photo of Elizabeth Taylor, sort of in her prime, I guess. But it's actually quite an interesting composition because it's not a kind of head-on shot of her. It's her appearing to be on a break, maybe on set, with you can see the lighting.
Mm. And she's got a man's coat over her costume.
Yeah, she's got a big coat on. And
she's still radiant, isn't she?
Yes, and you can see a sign behind her saying, "Please do not throw trash in track pits," which is obviously something they had to mind out for on the set.
I'm going to get one of those signs on the wall here.
Yes. Yeah, but it's quite a beautiful image.
She's one of those people you see so many pictures of all the time and it kind of just fades into the background, but then you see a candid like that, you're like, oh, that's why she was Elizabeth Taylor, you know?
Exactly, And... It tells us this was on the set of Raintree County in 1956.
56, okay.
I've never seen that film.
No.
Me neither. It must be one of the...
But I thought I'd bring this in because when I was looking through my box of cards and postcards and photos, I thought I would find something from my granny, who I used to live with for some time. It was my brief experiment with not living in Brixton.
Okay.
For a couple of years, me and a friend lived with my granny because she had a house that was a bit too big for her. We helped with the shopping, things like that, and we were just out of uni, so it kind of suited us for some cheaper rent. And
where was that?
That was in Camden.
Okay.
And that was where my dad and siblings had mostly grown up. And we were very, very close with my granny. She was an amazing woman. She was an English teacher and she was just incredibly clever and judgmental and rude and just quite tricky to deal with, but really good fun.
But you chose to go and live with her, so you must have had a way of...
Yeah. No, she was enormous fun, but yeah, you didn't want to get on her wrong side. I think she enjoyed sort of meeting my friends who would come and visit. But if she didn't like you, that was it. There was one of them she described as a thing as tedious as a football. And I didn't even know what that
tedious
was.
Tedious as a football?
Yeah, I didn't even know what that was. It didn't make any sense.
No, but you know it's not a good thing.
Yeah. Anyway, so this actually isn't from her. It's from my aunt, Christina. I think it must have been quite soon after my granny died, because she was a bit of a hoarder. She had loads of boxes of stuff and old articles and books everywhere. And now I've sort of acquired some of them. And everyone has, I think, in the family. But yeah, this is from my Aunt Christina, and she says, "Dearest Esther, this is a card that was in Granny's box of cards that I seem to have inherited. I wonder if she had this one because the photograph reminded her of you. It does me."
Gosh.
I think that's very generous, but anyway, I'll take
for the listeners. You know, yeah. you've got that colour.
I've got a dark hair. "You must be very busy with election fever as I write this. Anyway, I hear you have a new flat, so this is a housewarming card for you and Laura. I hope by the time this reaches you, Obama has been re-elected."
Aww.
So, stamps the date on it.
Yeah, so I guess it was 2012. And actually, yeah, this was on my fridge for ages. Well, since I got it, so I think I actually forgot about the message on the back. But I just thought it was very sweet of my aunt to pick it up and send it my way.
That's lovely.
Because she knew I'd like it.
Yeah, and also it mentions this box of stuff. And, you know, these cards all come from boxes of stuff, whether they're cards, the boxes you've got, or, you know, when I get a box of 5,000 cards on my doorstep at 3 a.m. or whatever, people have poured those boxes of cards in, and, you know, it's like there's a weird thing that goes on.
Yeah.
With stuff gathers, and in fact, it gathers and then it flies away again, in a way. Things get separated out again. They're like birds flocking and separating, and it's kind of beautiful but sad.
When I was digging out these cards, I had to get my box of cards down from the shelf, and I felt a bit like, oh God, I'm safe and no one's in there.
Yeah, it's an emotional burden in these things.
It's funny because these things all get, as you say, in the boxes of stuff, and everybody has one. They get grouped together because of format, because they're all made of cards. Emotionally, it's all over the place.
Yes.
You've got bereavements, birthdays, whatever.
Yes.
You know
this would
mean?
Not make a good recipe book.
Yeah, yeah.
They're
exactly.
completely separate things.
Yeah. And I've always wondered, so these boxes of postcards that you see at markets and the kind of things that you go through, are they from estate sales or where are they from?
Well, I have people who send me...
Oh, you have
money changes hands and large numbers arrive. But yeah, I think they are ultimately from house clearances and that. But also, I think I don't quite understand it, but for a long time I think churches collected postcards, and I don't know what they were hoping to get from
it,
how they were hoping to benefit long term, but I do think I think they used to collect old postcards and then I suppose sell them on for scrap or something. I think some of the cards I get have sort of somehow been gathered by church. I'm reading
like,
the clues, you know.
It feels very like Philip Pullman-y, doesn't it? Like gathering dreams.
That's
boiling
what I'm
them
doing.
Down.
That's what I'm doing. Gathering dreams, yes, boiling them down and destroying them. Watching the ink run. I definitely see them as orphans, these cards, because I've got, because you know, your cards are absolutely going to pulsating with meaning because you know exactly who they're from and what they mean, and yet the cards I get in the box they're orphans. They're just the names mean nothing, and I'm just picking up a little bit. Hopefully, I can find things in the messages that do resonate with people more generally.
Yeah.
But they're not specific like yours. Yours are, you know, yours belong to you and they have real meaning, I think.
Do you feel like a sort of harried foster parent with too many kids? And you're like, I want to learn all their names, but I can't.
No, I think it's more like having a pond full of fish or something. Because there's too many to make sense of.
People probably ask you this all the time. Have you ever heard from someone who's... Who knows one of the participants?
Well, from Twitter, people often jokingly say that must be from me.
Yeah.
Because if I find a card that says, I don't know, we had three bottles of beer or something,
yeah,
and everyone jokingly says, oh, that was from me, or that was from my auntie or my brother or something. And very occasionally people say, I really think that was from me. And it isn't, really. Because statistically, I mean, I've got thousands and thousands and thousands of cards, but there are out there millions, and they were sent even more millions.
Yeah.
The chance of it being from someone is so remote.
Well, I guess they say that because there is something really universal.
Precisely, it's made a connection.
Yeah.
And no, I'm flattered and delighted they see that, because hopefully that means I've chosen a bit from the message that has some resonance, and whether that's whether it's touching or funny or odd, it just has some resonance to their life. I mean, it certainly could happen. But I've, you know, people sometimes say, well, why don't you put the names and why don't you put the address and why don't you put the date? And if I was running a sort of history project, I'd do that. But I'm not running a history project. I'm running an art project. But, you know, something different. It's something. It's more about, it's closer to poetry than history, I hope.
Mm.
But how kind of you to ask. So I think we've seen all the cards you two have for us today. Thank you very much, both of you, for bringing them in. As ever, I never know where the cards will send us. I'm delighted you share them with us. Another quick reminder for everyone at home, images of all the cards we've seen today, the pictures, not the messages, will be on the blog at postcardfromthepast.co.uk. The scanner is being heated up even as I speak. Including one last one from me in the past postcard style, as we do on Twitter and in the book. And this is a multi-view of the Isle of Purbeck. So we're definitely in Dorset now. I don't know what the last one, we definitely are now. And helpfully, it tells you what the three bits are. The Blue Pool, Old Harry Rocks, Swanage, Corfe Castle and Ulworth Cove. And the message says, we had a lovely week at Swanage last week. Frankly, I don't like Bournemouth.
So, wow.
Damning.
Doreen
made
it fairly clear. You know,
Doreen.
Swanage, okay.
Discerning.
Won't bother with Bournemouth. Now, before we let you go, I've got one more postcard for you both to have a look at. It has become customary for us to end the show with one of these, so I will pass that across to you to have a look at.
Wow.
Perhaps you could let our listeners know what we're looking at.
It's a beachside scene with a large industrial-looking building. It's almost Bauhaus-y. Am I supposed to recognise the building?
No, it's not a quiz. No, because I think that's it's a pretty hideous kind of building, actually.
It's
isn't
disgusting.
It?
Yeah, it's sort of Battersea Power Station a bit, but
on the beach, and what do you want looming behind you?
Yeah,
I think it's a military memorial, actually.
My God, and there's
a German flag.
Yeah, I think we're in Germany, on the Baltic, I think. Obviously the card itself.
Well, it looks like it's it looks like it's had a disc.
Yeah, punched through. Yeah, it's like there's been a vinyl on top of it or something. It's been used as a vinyl sleeve because there's some kind of imprint on it.
Well, actually a musical postcard.
Oh my goodness! So, on the back it says it plays La Paloma by Iradier Zbiner Kavner.
Flawless.
Do you love that?
Well, if we ask young Tom next door nicely, he might be able to take it to his record player.
And
if we put our headphones on, something might happen.
Wow.
When sending a postcard isn't enough, you get music too.
Oh my God. This is so strange.
It's quite atmospheric.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it evokes the beach.
No.
But
no.
Something.
It's sort of being sort of down and out in a Mexican cantina, isn't it? Being like...
I've never been there, actually, Caroline.
Just sort of spinning empty tequila bottles and peanut shells across the table, being like, you gotta get me out of here, mijo. You know?
I always say exactly the same thing. It's not bad for a piece of cardboard.
Not bad.
You know. And you know how you, when you have a the vinyl revival, you'll be so careful with your vinyl. No, send it through the post. It'll be fine.
It definitely does not make me think German beach.
No, no, no. But then again, the front of a card is often very different from the back of the card.
That's very true.
You know, why can't the picture be different from the music? Well, as the cardboard naval memorial continues to rotate at exactly 45 revolutions per minute, that's it for this time on Podcast from the Past. I'd very much like to thank my first-class guests for sharing the postcards from their pasts, Carolina Donoghue and Esther Weber. Thank you both.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thanks, Tom.
And thank you for listening. Bye for now. See more postcards with their messages posted every day on Twitter. Do follow me at Past Postcard. And you can buy the book, Postcard from the Past, by me, Tom Jackson, at Amazon and all good booksellers. And if you're looking for podcast production, check out wardorstudios.co.uk.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.